Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here and we are ready to begin another Monday night Bible study with you.
All right, Lady Kim, we're certainly grateful for each of those who will join us tonight as we prepare for this time together, as we look at Leviticus, the 21st chapter tonight. And we'll just kind of do a recap of what happened in our worship experience on yesterday. But let us know, those of you who have connected, that you're getting a clear signal and that you can hear us well as we prepare for this time together tonight. So we do give God praise, honor, and glory. And we thank him, for we realize and we're confident in the fact that in him we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we're nothing without him. And so even as we prepare for tonight, just be mindful of that. And the Bible reminds us each time we prepare for a time of study that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so you can anticipate and expect something to happen as it relates to your faith. And I believe God is going to increase that as a result of your willingness to participate in this time with us together tonight. So someone let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in as we prepare for tonight's study. That's Leviticus 21. I believe there are about 24 verses there, and we are going to use that as a platform for our time together tonight. But let us bow for a moment of prayer as we prepare for this study. God, we're eternally grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your power. And we thank you for your protection. We thank you for continuing to bless us even in spite of ourselves. We're grateful for an opportunity to study your word. We believe and we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that our faith will increase because your word said it would. And so we thank you for an opportunity now together. And we pray the Lord for each person that's going to participate and be a part of this study tonight. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. It's in the powerful and marvelous and matchless name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen. All right, somebody give God a thumbs up and let us know that you're getting a clear signal. Do you see anything happening there, Lady Kim? Okay. All right. Well, here it is, the 13th day of May. Where did May start and how did it get almost to the middle of May already? Can you believe that?
It's way by fast. Yeah. Somebody greased the clock.
That no, right? And so we thank God for how he continues to bless us even in spite of ourselves, and how he yet sustains us in the midst of everything, the chaos and the confusion that's happening in our world. We know that he's promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us always. And that's what he said, even until the end. And so we know that his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And so we're grateful for God including us in his plan for what he has yet happening in the earth realm. And I tell you, I get excited about it because I know that, you know, he could have called us on from labor to reward, but he saw fit to leave us here. And I believe that he left us here for a reason, that we might be able to be an extension of his grace and his mercy, and that we might continue to carry that bloodstained banner so that others might be able to see God as a result of our witness and our testimony. What do you think about that?
Amen. I agree.
Okay. No other additional comments. You're just going to hold on to that and go with that. That's
go
your testimony?
That. That's my testimony, and I'm sticking with it.
All right. All right. I'm just checking. But we're certainly grateful for each of you who are yet coming on board and those who are on the other platforms that we do have, the streaming side as well as the Facebook side, and then on our web page. But, Lady Kim, just tell us a little bit about what you were able to hear God say and what you experienced in the worship experience on yesterday.
Well, It was an awesome time in the Lord. Of course, yesterday was Mother's Day.
That's right.
And so we celebrated mothers all over within our church family and Mother's Extension extended everywhere, because some people's mothers are in different cities. Mm-hmm. Some mothers have gone on to be with the Lord. And some mothers have, may have been just across town.
Okay.
So, but a lot of mothers were right there in the sanctuary. That's right. Celebrating. That's right. With us. So we celebrated mothers on yesterday. But the sermon topic was, what happens when women pray? What happens when women pray, from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And you started with the 8th verse and went through the 20th verse. But I believe you stopped before you got to the 20th verse. But it talked about the man named Elkanah and his wife Hannah, and how Hannah was sad because she was barren. But Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah, and he had, I think her name was Peninnah, and she had several children.
Okay.
And Peninnah would always taunt Hannah and tease her for not having children, which it caused Hannah to be depressed. And she, as they went to the temple, she went there in anguish and was crying out to God. She was praying so hard. This particular scripture says that the priest, Eli, thought she was drunk.
That's right.
And he said, "Why did you come up in here drunk?" And she said, "Oh, no, I'm not drunk, sir, but I'm, you know, I'm sorrowful. I'm pouring out my heart to God." And so, He asked her, you know, I don't think he asked her why she was troubled. He just said, he just knew she was praying really hard. And he said, whatever you're praying for, may God grant it for you. And she went up and he told her to go her way, and she went her way. Mm-hmm. And she went back home. But You didn't get to the end of your story. I think you're going to do a part two.
No, the points were captured in the message, and I didn't just highlight the points.
Ah, okay.
And so if you look at the points, you'll see that all of that was inclusive in terms of the message. And so I didn't just highlight and stop message point number one or number two,
okay,
or number three.
Okay.
But I think that first point was, the results are in God's hand.
That's right.
And so that was obvious in that text, that it was not left up to Eli, nor was it left up to Hannah. But Hannah initiated the contact with God. And part of what we were really trying to emphasize is the importance and the significance of prayer, and how that's a necessity in all of our lives, and how we cannot neglect our prayer life, nor can we think that things are going to work in our favor if we have no connection with God.
Amen. That's good. So we have to have a connection with God, and the results are in God's hands. And then he's talked about how obedience brings the reward.
Absolutely.
You wrap that in there, and how breakthrough will come.
Right.
So the first thing, you know, one of the things I got from, he said, don't discount. First of all, we couldn't discount the passage because of familiarity.
Okay.
I know we've heard this passage of scripture maybe preached, or we've read it several times before. But just because we've heard something once doesn't mean that it's a one and done, that we finish with it.
Right.
We can glean other nuggets from that passage of scripture. And one of those nuggets was, you know, about the essentials of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is very important. And then you talked about, okay, how when Jesus cleansed the temple,
mm-hmm,
he said that my house shall be called a house of prayer.
That's right.
And so, first of all, we need to know that the temple, or God's house, is specifically characterized as a house of prayer. And that prayer is at the core of our relationship with God.
Okay.
That we have to make sure that our relationship is right with God. When our vertical relationship is right with God, then our horizontal relationship with people and our family and our friends and anyone we come in contact with will also be will also be positive and okay. Be okay.
You took some good notes, Reverend. You were listening right on point there. You just gave me a refresher as you went back through that, mm-hmm. because even though it might be a part two, but it might deal more with prayer than it does with that particular story. Mm-hmm. And the essential element of the story, and even the one sermon that I preached a couple of weeks ago, had to do with prayer. Mm-hmm. And as you indicated, Jesus himself said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And as he entered that temple, we have to understand that he's emphasizing that our temple is, you know, to be cleansed as well.
Amen.
When there are things that we have made it that it was not intentionally designed to be. And so that's part of the overarching message of the two times that we presented as it relates to prayer.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But there were some other points that came out of that sermon on yesterday as well. I see you have some more notes there. You probably would be, why are you blinking and winking at me like that? It'd probably be good to kind of highlight that, because that I was really given a history lesson on the events leading up to. And you already know from your study and from your time in seminary that there's a lot of information that's behind the text,
right,
that really drives the message. And sometimes we miss that because we don't dig in terms of trying to understand the culture and the background in terms of what's happening.
Right. And one of those things is that the nation started out as tribes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there
mm-hmm.
were 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes came out of the 12 sons of Jacob.
Okay.
And so from those 12 sons, each tribe was formulated.
Okay.
And so, but you talked about tribes don't make a church.
That's right.
We can't have cliques within the church.
That's it.
We can't have schisms in the church. We can't have individuality in the church. But when we become a nation, that means we become one.
Mm-hmm.
One with each other, but more importantly, one with God. And move in unity, then
right.
We can become a force.
Okay.
And so I think that was your point, that
mm-hmm.
we don't need to be tribes. We need to operate as a nation.
That's good. That's good. Okay. And, you know, a lot of times people bring the same drama from their family into the church and really not focus in on what the church ought to be about. And sometimes we dump and we lay things on the church because of our frustration that we're having within our family.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come into the house of God, we should lay aside all of the differences and we should flow as a body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And not as a family of individuals, as you just indicated, in terms of our tribal, background and our tribal spirits that many times permeates the church.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And so people sometimes don't get a sense of that and understand until something happens or something erupts in the life of the church, then you will see that spirit begin to manifest itself in terms of where people will operate out of is not so much a spirit of unity as it is
a selfish
tribal kind mm-hmm. of spirit that they begin to operate out of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, we know that God always has someone standing on the prayer wall.
That's right. That's
always
right.
Somebody on the wall. So we, and if we can't find nobody standing on the wall, guess what? We need to get on the wall.
Get on the wall.
Get on the wall. Get on the prayer wall.
That's it.
You know, the Bible says to pray without ceasing.
My.
And so we need to formulate a prayer wall or a prayer chain
mm-hmm.
and continuously pray for our church, our families,
yeah.
our nation, our government, this world.
That's right. That's right. So Eli was really struggling and straining and trying to keep everything intact, you know, in terms of the future of Israel. But as a result of his dedication and commitment, he began to grow weary, in a sense, and not able to lead this whole transition that was taking place in terms of the nation of Israel coming out of a tribal sense into understanding the unity that you just described. Mm-hmm. And so the future of Israel, as you already indicated, was, well, in your notes, it was in jeopardy. But God had someone in the wings.
Amen.
And see, that's the backdrop of that whole story that really pushes that whole piece about what happened with Hannah and how she was the catalyst for making that transition really come into existence.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's not just about what happens when women pray, but it's about what happens when we all pray and when we're on one accord and when we are doing what God would require of us, then breakthrough will come. And she had a major breakthrough. I believe her son's name was Samuel. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole process of what began to come to existence as a result of what happened. You had did a sermon and gave us some very significant points for that same particular passage that really elevates the importance of not just women being on the wall, but also men, because, and children as well, because God, he has no respect of persons when it comes to hearing the heart of those who are pleading and crying for justice and for mercy.
Amen.
And God will hear the cry of a child.
Yes, he will.
And bring deliverance even to your house. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage those of you who are viewing tonight to make sure that you don't allow prayer to become, you know, we had some courses in school where we had electives and we had, what were the others, requirement mm-hmm. courses. And so those electives were kind of like, well, you know, that really wasn't my main focus. I'm going to do that to try to fill the gap. And sometimes we have made prayer an elective instead of a priority. And so I want to encourage you, even if you kind of lost sight of the importance and the significance of prayer, is to make sure that that's a priority and that God is priority in your life. And you'll see some changes. That's where that breakthrough happens. You know, when we trust in God and lean not to our own understanding and all of our ways acknowledging him, he's promised to direct our path. And so some powerful things will happen as a result.
Amen.
That's where the obedience will bring the reward.
Amen.
And so if we yield not to our own understanding and allow God to direct us, something powerful will happen in your life.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, God used a woman in this case to bring unity.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But God can use anybody.
Absolutely.
To bring unity in the community.
Uh-oh.
So.
All right. I feel that part three. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. And receive that, Reverend. I feel it.
So, you know, and you know, we need God to bring unity
mm-hmm.
to our churches and bring unity to our city. We're so fragmented in so many ways.
That's right.
And so we would be strong. We would be a nation.
Absolutely.
A force to be reckoned with if we would all join together on one accord.
My. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is really a key passage for that whole process, you know. And many times we recite it, but we don't hold that close to us. My people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and then turn from their wicked ways. Then will you hear from heaven. And God said, I'll heal your land and I'll forgive your sins. And so that's significant in terms of, we don't have to use that just when, you know, everything is crashing in all around us, but we should make that an essential part of what we do on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
Did you have any electives in
I had lots of electives.
Were they essential to you, or you were just trying to
fill fillers? No, I was just trying to fill the gap.
They were fillers.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
So we don't want to make prayer an elective now. We want.
It's a requirement.
It's a requirement. You got to have this in your spirit, in your mm-hmm. relationship, so that you will be able to go forth. But the whole service was just amazing, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know, and so it was just a celebrative moment, and we emphasized the fact about Dr. Qualise was out on yesterday. I don't know if she's on or not, but we talked a little bit about how she stood in the gap and how all of those who, while we were absent Sunday before last, they really carried the ball and crossed the finish line and scored a touchdown. And so I know this is NBA playoff season, but yeah, they did it. She did it. And so, well, Lady Kim, you forgot and omitted. I don't know if you're going to come back to it or not, but about the Saturday. I mean, the whole weekend was just power packed. Tell us a little bit about how you felt and what were some of your emotions as you prepared to receive your diploma on Saturday and stayed in the line and waited till they called your name. Tell us a little bit about
it. It was exciting. I was glad that it was finally over with, but I was overjoyed to cross the finish line on Saturday. And so God, I'm telling you, God was amazing. You were amazing.
Who?
My
me?
Family was
you
amazing.
You talking about me?
Yes, what? The support what? From
did,
my...
Amazing, from, did you say amazing? Did you say... what did you say? You breaking up a little bit.
You keep going, I'm going to roll right
past
right,
you. All right, don't roll past me. Don't roll over me.
No, you were amazing.
Thank you.
You helped me
tell
out
them about
in so
your,
many
tell
ways.
Tell them about what I told you. I told them I was going to do for you yesterday.
You said you were going to cook dinner for me.
Yeah, I told them I was going to grill. I really didn't cook.
Right.
Right.
So you grilled.
Did I come through?
You came through in a all big right. way, did, in a major
somebody,
way.
Somebody give God some praise right there. Y'all
and
act
you know
like,
what?
Don't act like
else,
you can't hear
something
me.
Else happened that was just unbelievable. Just, but
wow.
I will say that.
No, you say that. We don't want, this is Bible study now. You say that for later.
Oh,
my. They have those shows where they follow people around all day. You know, I don't know what they call them. But they have a couple, and they go with them throughout the whole day. And
they don't want to follow us.
I know, right? And so they
extend, we would be
boring. They're taking a glimpse of what happens in their life throughout the day. But somebody tell me about somebody. Who is that?
Tell
Dr. Qualise. No, can't tell it all. Can't tell it all. Can't tell it all. But no, Lady Kim.
See me at church.
It was an amazing weekend. And so we thank God for, you know, your family was here and your cousin was here. It was just an exciting time.
It was. Yeah. My cousin wasn't able to make it to church. They're from Atlanta, and she and her husband both work nights.
Right.
And they work nights on Sunday. So they left early Sunday morning, but I did talk to her today and express my thanks to her. I come from a very small family. I have one brother, a younger brother, and an older sister. And they were here, and I have one first cousin.
Isn't that so?
And she and her husband were able to come and witness the graduation, along with my immediate family, our children, and, you know, one of the grandkids. And
Evangelist.
Yes. And so our niece, Darlene Evangelist Cleveland, and several church members
That's
showed
right.
up.
That's
so
right.
I was thankful for that. The ushers showed out.
That's
so
right.
They showed up and they showed
That's
out.
It.
So I just thank God for, and a lot of people were on stream, was
right.
streamed and watched the service and the ceremony and sent me pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Well, lest we hold you too long, we're going to jump into Leviticus 21. There are about 24 verses there, and those of you who had an opportunity to read it, this particular chapter, similar to what we've already gone over, in particularly in chapter 20, God is turning his focus now to the priest, and he's given them some guidelines, if you will, regarding their conduct and purity. And I think there's a message there for us. But, you know, oftentimes we talk about how important it is for our behavior to match our belief and how our conduct ought to match our commitment in the desire that we have or to match the dedication that we have. Mm-hmm. And so there's some background information that you have that would kind of guide us through where we're trying to go in this 21st chapter. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I like the way, you know, to be like Christ is a platform that I use, because I like the way it breaks down the different verses, you okay. know, and categorizes them. And so the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 9, talks about the holiness of the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And then verses 10 through 15 talks about the holiness of the high priest. And then 16 through 24 talks about the blemishes amongst the priesthood.
Okay.
And so the first thing that we need to understand is that there were kind of like God had an order, a rank, an order in place. So there were like tiers to holiness.
Okay.
So the high priest was held to a higher standard. The high priest was Aaron. And then Aaron's sons were the priests. And so Aaron was held to the highest standard, then his sons, and then the people, the mm-hmm. commoners, you know, of that day. So depending on who you were in the camp of Israel, that there was a certain level of holiness that was expected of you. And the common people were to do their best to keep themselves ceremonially clean. A greater level of holiness was expected from the priest. The highest expectation of cleanliness was placed on the high priest, which was, again, Aaron.
Okay. So even as you were just kind of giving us just a synopsis of this chapter and how it breaks out, you know, the relevance for us today is all wrapped up and tied up in that, because mm-hmm. we are a priesthood of believers.
Amen.
And that's it's important it. For us to understand that the same kind of requirements that God placed on the priest and his sons back then and the people is the same kind of dedication and commitment that should be reflected in our lives if we're going to serve him mm-hmm. and do what's pleasing in his eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And, you know, God has a higher expectation of those in leadership.
Right, right.
You know, just as he had a higher expectation
That's good.
Of the priest in the camp of Israel, God has a higher expectation of those in leadership, starting with the pastor, the mm-hmm, head, and mm-hmm. then, you know, any ministers, and then any ministry leaders.
Okay.
God expects a higher level of leadership or accountability. Should I say?
Yeah.
From those people in leadership.
That's good. So that would be considered one of the higher tiers.
Yes.
In today's church.
Yes.
As you related that to the tiers that were situated even during the time of Leviticus 21.
That's right.
Okay.
And you know, we're all sinners saved by grace.
Okay.
But the high priest was expected to maintain a sanctified lifestyle beyond that of the common people. And you know, back in the day, we elevated our pastors. We mm-hmm. looked up to our pastors. Our pastors, you know, led a lifestyle of holiness that we were to emulate, just as the pastor was emulating Jesus and his standards. We were to emulate the pastor and his standards. But, you know, this day and age, you know, we going kind of ziggity boom. But the point is, we should still maintain that level of sanctification
That's
and
right.
holiness
That's right.
as leaders in God's church.
That's good.
As leaders in God's church, we don't make a mockery of our position. We don't lord our position over people. We don't look down upon people, but we lead people through our lifestyle and our dedication to God.
That's right. And I think that's part of what one of the comments I made on yesterday, how important it is for those who are in leadership to make sure that they are doing what God would require of them
mm-hmm.
and they allow the anointing to guide their steps and direct them. And we know that God's He calls all of us into some form of ministry based upon our gifts.
That's right.
But those that he elevates to even a higher position or a higher calling, then we know that if we're going to do what God requires of us, then the you said the order, and God is not a God of confusion, or but he's a God of order, decency, and he wants things to flow according to his timetable. And so I think this passage encourages us to honor God through our actions.
Amen.
And obedience then will indeed bring the reward. And this also encourages us as leaders and as followers to make sure that we pursue the same holiness in all right. areas of our lives
right.
and be not conformed to this world, but what be transformed by the renewing of our mind,
yes.
that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so our vessels should be consecrated to God, just as the priests were consecrated, just like Aaron's sons were consecrated. So it is with us as believers today. There should be a measure of consecration that
Amen.
Happens that allows us to be sanctified for the work that God has mm-hmm. before us. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree with me on
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. And that consecration continues to give, you know, high expectation
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for those who seek to lead.
That's
you know,
right.
You don't lead just because you want to be out front.
Right.
You lead.
I want to be seen
right,
and all that, right?
Right. You lead because God has placed something in your heart and in your spirit that elevates you among the people to lead with holiness and righteousness.
That's right. Lead them in and out of the presence of God.
That's right.
And
you so talked about that
that's,
yesterday.
That's, what I, that's uh-huh. what I was alluding to. So, you know, we have to make sure that we are called, we are anointed and appointed for the work that God has required of us, because you can't teach what you don't know. And this is Bishop T. Gary Benjamin, a very familiar saying, you can't lead where you won't go.
Amen.
And so you have to be clear on that, you know. So the same thing that we expect from those who follow is what we ought to put double emphasis on mm-hmm. so that our light will shine in such a way that when it comes to asking people to do something, they won't even have to think twice about it
right.
because they already can see how God is working in your life and how the manifestation of his presence is being revealed in you. And they want to catch some of that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, in the New Testament, there's a unique list of qualifications.
Okay.
Given by the Apostle Paul for those who want to serve in the church as elders.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And then again in Titus 1, 5 through 9, those qualifications of an elder.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. So we're really kind of summarizing most of this mm-hmm. because it deals with the priest and their regard and their conduct and purity. And the application for us is that's a continual process in terms of what God would have for us even today, just as he placed the importance and the significance of that in the life of Aaron and his sons. And then it came down to those who were followers
mm-hmm.
of the way, followers of their leadership. And so he still requires that of us today. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Are there any comments or any questions there, Lady Kim?
No.
Okay.
Not right
okay.
now.
All right. So there are 24 verses there. And we, I think, if you want to, you can set up how you want to read through that, because it will confirm what we've already shared and just kind of given a brief explanation of what's happening here in this 21st chapter of Leviticus as it relates to the holiness of the priests and their offerings to God.
Amen. Verses 1 through 9 talk about the holiness of the priesthood. Would you like me to read those verses?
Yeah. You
okay.
feel like reading?
Read.
Read. How about so bold?
Okay. We're in the 21st chapter of Leviticus, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother. Also his virgin sister, who is near to him, who has had no husband. For her he may defile himself. Otherwise he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make any bald place on their head, nor shall they shave the edges of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God, and not profane the name of their God. For they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God. Therefore they shall be holy. They shall not take a wife who is a harlot or a defiled woman, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. The daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire."
Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? So there's a key connection there in terms of the holiness of the priests and the offerings that God requires of them, and the discipline that's necessary in order to bring glory and honor to his name. And it's reflective even in the family of the priest and how they should behave, and all of the connections associated with his priesthood.
Okay.
And so I think the same thing as you were talking about leadership, that should be a standard that is reflected in the home, and those whom we are associated and connected with should see God's presence in our lives, mm-hmm. and not just something that's a performance that happens on Sunday that's not consistent with how we live from day to day.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very important.
That's right.
Because some people really pretend in public, mm-hmm. and in private they're a different way.
That's right.
You know, that's why, you know, Facebook is so misleading. I call it fake book. Fake book is so misleading because people portray... You don't ever see people on there. You don't ever see people on there, you know.
Struggling. Not looking good.
Right. People try to put forth their best self on Facebook. They try to make people think like they big ballers and shot callers, you know. Got it going on when really behind closed doors they're struggling because mm-hmm. they're in debt for all the things that they have, or... You know, they try to look all lovey-dovey on Facebook, and then they fighting, you know,
watch out,
domestic violence behind closed doors. Or, you know, they talk about their kids and their accomplishments when really their kids are really going through. So we have to be careful how we present ourselves. We want to present ourselves in the most meaningful way,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we don't need to be have a double life.
You're talking good tonight, Reverend.
You know.
All right, I feel something brewing down there in your stomach.
Okay, and Sister Gwen says something relevant. She said, "It appears as though nowadays some leaders are stuck on 'do as I say and not as I do.'"
Right.
"This is misleading to so many followers who look to our leaders for guidance."
Wow.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. They look to us for guidance, and especially in these troubled times, mm-hmm. they look to their pastor, they look to the church. And if we are not exhibiting Christ-like behavior, then we send mixed signals.
Signals, right.
You know, now we're not perfect.
That's right.
The church is not perfect because it's filled with imperfect people. But we're supposed to be striving for perfection.
That's right.
We're supposed to be doing what God has called us to do so that we can live a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness.
That's good. That's so good. And I was thinking about James as he draws attention to that in James in terms of how our behavior, as we always say, should match our belief.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the event that you know, something does occur, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
But we handle people with the same kind of, the same kind of spirit that Christ would, and allow grace to be obvious in terms of how we deal with people if something does occur, and not try to push people away, but try to redeem them through the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So that was the first 9 verses of the 21st chapter, and just kind of highlighting some of the finer points. I think in that 8th verse, it really talks about and instructs the priest to consecrate themselves, and how important it is for us even today to consecrate ourselves. It made mention of the bread that they had to offer, and it all shall be holy and sanctified unto the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. You want to pick it back up, or you have another comment before?
We can pick it back up, because verses 10 through 15 talks about the holiness of the high priest. See, verse 1 through 9 was focusing on Aaron's sons, who were the priests.
All right.
Now verses 10 through 15 focus on Aaron himself, who was the high priest.
Okay.
And verse 10 says, he who is the high priest mm-hmm. among his brethren,
right.
on whose head the anointing oil was poured,
mm-hmm.
and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes, nor shall he go near any dead body or defile himself for his father or his mother,
mm-hmm.
nor shall he go out of the sanctuary nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is upon him, and I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a defiled woman or a harlot. These he shall not marry, but he shall take a virgin of his own people as a wife, nor shall he profane his posterity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him.
Okay, that was 9 through 15?
10 through 15.
10 through 15. And so it's really just kind of giving more guidance and direction to the lifestyle as well as the behavior
mm-hmm.
that's expected of those who lead, and particularly here, it's focusing in on Aaron and giving clarity in terms of, you said there was different tiers
mm-hmm.
And how important it was for him to really set the standard
right.
for those who would follow.
Right, man. And you know, the high priest, he, like I said before, was expected to uphold an even higher standard of holiness
mm-hmm.
than the regular priest.
Right.
Because he had been anointed or consecrated with oil. He was not to tear his clothes or let his hair hang loose. If he let his hair hang loose, that was a sign of mourning.
Okay.
So he always had to keep his hair pulled back away from his face. He was not to make himself unclean by approaching a dead body, even if that dead body was his mother or his father.
Wow.
And he was only allowed to marry a virgin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, there any comments there, Lady Kim? And I think when we were sharing right before you read those verses, it was pertaining to Galatians, not James, where I made reference to what happens in terms of, in James, the 6th chapter, I mean, in Galatians, the 6th chapter, it talks about how to handle and restore those who may fall, or how we have to bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a process of how we handle people in terms of restoration.
Amen.
Because as you indicated, all have sinned and fallen short, but we should strive toward perfection. We're not perfect, but we should live a life that brings glory to God, and we should allow that behavior again to match our belief, and our conduct should match our commitment. And so it should be consistent across the board.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you got a few more verses there. You want to go ahead and read those, unless you have some other comments. And then we'll prepare to start wrapping it up. There were only, 24 verses there.
Yes. And we're going to go from 16 to 24.
Okay.
And those talk about the blemishes among the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see that coming out here. Verse 16. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God.
Okay.
For any man who has a defect shall not approach. A man blind or lame, who has a marred face or a limb too long, a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or is a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scab, or is a eunuch. No man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, who has a defect, shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy.
Mm-hmm.
Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. And Moses told it to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah, that's deep, isn't it?
Yeah. Defect.
So, yeah, if you had any kind of defect, any kind of blemish, you know, any of Aaron's sons who had a blemish were not allowed to offer sacrifices to the Lord at the altar.
It made mention of a, I think it talked about, let me see.
It talked about all kind of stuff, hunchback, yeah, and broken arms and broken hands and broken legs. I mean, if there was any defect at all, scars or anything,
right.
You know, that separated a lot of people.
That were in that lineage.
Right.
That had opportunity to, it said eczema and scab.
Yeah.
Eunuch. A hunchback.
Eye defects. Itching diseases.
Yeah.
Anything like
limb
that.
Limb too long.
Injured foot or hand. Blindness, lameness.
Right. So.
Any kind of deformity.
Yeah. I would just, you know, that's interesting how they were really particular in about presenting God the best.
And wholeness. I think that's what he was talking about.
With,
and that's how that lamb had to be sacrificed without spot or blemish.
That's right.
And so the people who offered, the priests who offered to the Lord, were also to be blemishless, if that's a word.
Okay.
You know, a man with any kind of condition was allowed to eat of the holy things of the tabernacle, but they were not to profane the sanctuary of God by offering those sacrifices. Mm-hmm.
That's good. All right. Well, I think you pretty much covered that. And, you know, that's a significant chapter, as we related it earlier, to how important it is for us to be dedicated and committed and striving toward perfection and consecrated, as consecrated vessels to the Lord.
Amen.
And sanctified by his Spirit. And so that there should be a continuous desire to please him, and our desire should match our dedication. So we can't just say one thing and then do something altogether different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we not only talk the talk, but we what?
Walk the walk.
Right. We don't talk left and walk right, or walk right and talk left, but we try to live in the middle and consistent in trying to please God and do what's necessary in order to bring glory and honor to his name.
Amen. Sister Gwen said, thank God for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We as a people would not have stood
We wouldn't have been able to make it, would we? It'd have been rough.
Mr. Al said, but grace.
I know, right?
But by the grace
but
of God.
By the grace
Hallelujah.
Of God.
Hallelujah. We
right.
thank God for Jesus. Because I got a scar over my eye. I got a scar. Don't
well,
have
all
a
these
scar.
Glasses and scar. All that. Yeah,
I know. Gotta, blemishes and broken limbs.
That's
and
right.
All kind of stuff. We wouldn't have been able to serve.
One limb longer than the other one.
We wouldn't have been able.
Been scratching and itching.
Right.
Yeah. That, no, don't come up in here with all that. You got to stay on the outside and on the periphery and not come close to... causing some kind of, ill will in terms of what God is expecting.
Right. Brother asked, he got a limp.
I know, right?
We all got a limp.
I got a limp. That's right.
So, walking crooked and crazy and sideways.
That's right.
You know.
But God.
But God.
By
Hallelujah.
The grace. Aren't you
the
glad
grace.
You live
my
in
Lord,
the grace
my God.
Of God? Aren't you glad that
Hallelujah.
God thought enough of us that he was willing to sacrifice his only son? Mm. Mm-hmm. That we didn't have to go through all of these rituals and trying to find the right pigeon and trying to find the right dove. Aren't you glad tonight that you're covered by the grace of God? Somebody ought to say
the
amen.
The blood of Jesus.
The blood, the blood, the blood.
The blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm covered.
Covered by the blood.
Covered by the blood. Somebody
amen.
Type that in. I'm covered by the blood.
Amen.
And so we praise God for that tonight. And we're certainly grateful for each of you who are participating and being a part of this study on both the mediums and platforms. But I think it's kind of self-explanatory at this point. Wouldn't you agree,
yes,
Lady Kim?
Yes, absolutely.
So we want to lift up any prayer requests or praise reports that we might have. And if you have any prayer requests, go ahead and list them now as we prepare to come to a close tonight of this time that we spent together. I see you saying,
amen.
I'm covered by the blood.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got a praise report.
You do?
I made it.
Hey, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, I made it.
It's
I
over.
Felt so relieved today.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
It's over, but what?
It ain't. It's finished, but it ain't over.
It's finished, but it ain't over.
It's finished, but it ain't over.
All right.
Pastor Tara Williams from
That's right.
Nashville preached that at the seven last words.
That's
she
right.
had the
last word.
It is finished. She said it's finished,
but
it ain't
not
over.
That's right.
And it's finished. I finished it, but it ain't over. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory God.
Glory to God. Yes.
All right. Well, what request do you have, or what prayer request do you want to lift up as we prepare to close?
Well, we have a few prayer requests. Of course, we want to continue to lift up Sister Joyce Perkins and the loss of her sister-in-law, Dolores Sims. We want to lift up Tamika Peck and her family in the loss of her brother, who passed away on a Sunday, and then her father passed away the following Wednesday. And so I know that's devastating for their family, but those services, one of them has been and one is upcoming. And then Minister Al Blanks is asking prayer for his health. And Brother Michael Massey is asking prayer for his health. And we've heard yesterday that Sister Lurleen Goodlow is in Germantown Methodist Hospital. We want to lift her up in a powerful way. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. Those are just the ones, you know, the more frequent ones. We
right.
don't go back through all the old ones that have been on there. We just try to highlight and lift up the recent things that have taken place.
Okay, okay. Do you see anything else coming across the
not
field?
Right now.
Okay. All right. Well, you want to go ahead and close us out then with a word of prayer?
Amen. Well, let us go to God in prayer on tonight. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We thank you and we bless you for being our God. You are a God who meets every need in our life.
Thank you, God.
You are a God who looks past our faults and you meet our needs. You are a God who continuously works miracles in our life. You are a God who brings things, brings us closer together. And then you are a God who separates those who need to be separated, yes, for your good. So we thank you tonight, God, that you do all things well. God, we lift up the bereaved tonight. You know who they are. The Perkins family and the Peck family. God, we lift up those who are sick and those who are requesting prayers for healing. Minister Al Blanks and Minister and Brother Michael Massey and Sister Lurline Goodlow. We lift them up before you tonight, God. We lift up our church to you tonight, God. We lift up our pastor to you, God. Continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge. Continue to keep him strong and healthy, God, as he continues to go forth in your name. And we thank you tonight, God, yes, for everybody that's connected to ATOP.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for traveling grace and mercy, oh God, for family, my family who traveled back to Illinois and Indiana and Georgia, God. We thank you for that. We thank you for keeping a hedge of protection
keeping
a watch over our children and our children's children, God, and the household called Anointed Temple of Praise. We thank you tonight, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Now, God, as we go on tonight, we ask that you would continue to keep us in your care and never, ever let us slip from your presence. We love you, we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Praise God.
Thank you for joining Bible study. See you next Monday. Bye-bye.